Today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
You can't be any further from truth than to be a liar. A liar, by his lying, proves that he or she does not trust God. And that's why we lie. We've either gotten ourselves into trouble. I need to lie. I should have never done that. I didn't trust God, so I did what I shouldn't have done, so I have to lie to cover it up. Or I don't trust God with the consequences, so to avoid consequences, I lie. We make things up.
Deeper and deeper. Deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
In today's message, we'll be reminded that our word is important. As believers, we need to be a people who do what we say and say what we do. If we're hypocritical, if we're habitual liars, if we aren't reliable, then our testimony can be tainted. If we want to bring God glory, then we need to be people of our word. Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 33, as we join Pastor Troy for part one of our message entitled, Your Word Matters.
Truth. Truth matters to God. Your word matters to God. What you say. Whether you say something true or not, whether you mean what you say or you don't, that matters to God. Not the end result. The ends don't justify the means. He's concerned with the words that you say. You know, there are different categories of people when it comes to how much weight you can put on their words. I mean, for some, their words are like a contract. It's a done deal. It's better than signed papers. For others, words are tools that you use craftily to accomplish your purposes or to leave things open so that you can commit. But I actually said so that there's a loophole for you to get out of things. Some, you can take it to the bank. They're going to do it. When they said it, you can trust them. And if something happens and they don't do it, you're concerned, you're worried, because you know that their word, you can place weight in what they say. Some, when they say something, you can also take it to the bank. However, you can only take their word to the bank after you have backed them in the corner and said, promise me, promise. Okay, I promise. Then once you get them to that place, then you can take their word to the bank. Some, when they say something, you know they intend to do it. You know they intend to. But you still don't know if it's really going to happen. You can't put a lot of weight on their word. It's sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But then there are those who, they say something, and you don't put any weight on what they say. It usually doesn't happen. Okay, you said it, fine. You're just saying things to move on with the conversation. Today, Jesus speaks about our word. Well, we know His word is true, but He talks to us about our word because that's important to Him. He's been speaking about Christian conduct, principles for His followers. He has spoken about anger, where that comes from, that we need to look for it. Find it early. It's easier to detect before it blossoms into ultimately what He calls murder. It's murder. Murder in the heart. Talked about lust also in the heart. It begins there. Adultery and sexual sin outside of the body is the fruit of a seed that is already in here, and the seed is the fruit. The seed is the beginning. It's the same thing. Talked about divorce and commitment, being committed. And then we continue with that principle today, talking about oaths, our word, how important our word is, what we say. And so verse 33, he says, Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. Now, what those of old heard was right. It was true. I'll give you a few scriptures now to show that they were right. It is the word of God. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. God said, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. He's not saying, don't cuss using my name. There's more to it than that. Saying, don't bring me into the conversation nonchalantly. When I'm in the conversation, you say, hey, as the Lord is my witness, don't take my name lightly. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 12, he said, and you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. In Numbers chapter 30, verse 2, if a man makes a vow to the Lord or swears on oath to bind himself by some agreement, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. I remember the story of a man who gave his life to the Lord. He was young in the Lord. He was zealous for the Lord. He wanted to start giving to the Lord. He didn't have a church that he was plugged into, so he would watch church on TV. And not everything on TV is good church. And so they happened to be, as I think they probably did every week, talking about money, asking for money, and trust the Lord. And so he thought, you know, I want to honor you, God. And so he made a commitment to give a certain amount over the course of a year. And so he did. Well, he went, started going to a church, and they started saying, hey, that's not a good ministry, and that the stuff they're telling you is false. You don't not pay your bills so you can pay God. That's not true. And so he thought, man, oh, well, I've committed now, and I've got like 10 more months. Should I stop doing it because it's not the right thing? And he was counseled, no, keep your commitment because you did it to honor the Lord. He said, try to get out of it. It's not like you're funding some illegal thing, hopefully, but keep your promise to the Lord. Try to get out of it and then fulfill your obligations. You'll learn valuable lessons that way. And so he did. He was tied up for the next 10 months because they wouldn't let him out of it. And he learned a valuable lesson. When we make vows that involve the Lord, well, we need to take those very seriously because God does. Now, notice the emphasis of these vows that we read. They're vows taken to the Lord. Considering the Lord is involved in some way. Well, this emphasis began to give the Jews a loophole. They began to distinguish between an unbreakable oath made in the Lord's name and an oath that was lesser that could be broken. Well, I didn't say it in the Lord's name. Swear by the Lord. Well, okay. I swear by heaven. And so they would bring down the standard of their promise just in case they needed to break it. It's a lot like crossing your fingers. You know, kids, they'll do that. I hope adults don't do that anymore. But kids will, I had my fingers crossed, or I didn't say this, I didn't say that. That was what they did. It's human nature to try to find the loophole. That's why we need lawyers. You can't even convict someone of a crime anymore when it's obvious that they've done it because of loopholes. Their job is to find loopholes for the defense to get the guy off or to get him a lighter sentence. We love loopholes as long as they help us. And so we use our words to create loopholes. It's deception. It's lying. It's being dishonest. Some people's word began to mean nothing because everything was a loophole. So to get people to believe them, they had to start swearing. They would make them swear. I don't mean cussing. Like, heck yes, I will. Not the cussing, but they would have to say, I promise. I promise on the most holy God. Okay. So rather than your word being your word, they had to turn to swearing. I'm going to ask you a question, pretty straight question. Are you a liar? I know that all of us have lied. I know we've all been in the wrong situation. We tried to hide something and we said something a little different than it should have been said for the sake of hopefully not being found out. But are you a liar? Is it a regular part of your routine to lie? You can't be any further from truth than to be a liar. A liar, by his lying, proves that he or she does not trust God. And that's why we lie. We've either gotten ourselves into trouble. I need to lie. I should have never done that. I didn't trust God, so I did what I shouldn't have done, so I have to lie to cover it up. Or I don't trust God with the consequences. So to avoid consequences, I lie. We make things up. Lying is never good. A liar, someone who lies consistently, is someone who isn't content with reality. And so what they will do is they will create, invent, manipulate through their words. For some reason, whatever reality is, whatever truth is, isn't good enough. They're not content with that. And so they make things up. I knew a guy who used to lie a lot. He lied about who he knew, different people. He lied about where he was from. He had lied about his former career, a career that he wanted people to believe he had had because it sounded adventurous. And he would talk to ladies and give them this information. And I found this out because one time I knew one of the ladies, and I didn't know her. I just knew who she was, and there was a chance we might talk. And so he said, hey, I told this one person that this was, I did this and I live this way, and I know you know that's not true, but I just wanted you to know I told her that. So I was like, why did you tell her that? Why can't you just tell her the truth about who you are? I mean, don't you want someone who loves you for who you are? Apparently not. Lying is like a fire. It might start small, but because you have to cover it up, just like fire, it begins to spread. It expands as the questions come, as things happen. And over time, you have to add more to it, and you have to add more to it. It's not good, and you can finally bury yourself to one day the truth has to come out and everyone loses their confidence in you. It's not the way God wants His people to live. Liars oftentimes have themselves fooled. It's like they believe the stories. James spoke of being doers of the word and not deceiving yourself. You look into the law, he said, but you go away and you forget what it said. There's something to fix about yourself, but you walk away and maybe through reasoning or forgetting, you don't do anything about it because you're lying to yourself. The truth is, all of us need the Word of God. We need God to fix us. The beginning of change is accepting truth. Truth about you. Truth about your situation. You are a sinner. And if you are a liar, it's one of the most difficult sins to overcome because you're lying oftentimes to yourself. In John chapter 8, Jesus said of Satan, when he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Let me read something that Charles Spurgeon wrote. He knew a few liars himself. He said, I have seen almost all sorts of people converted. Great blasphemers, pleasure seekers, thieves, drunkards, unchaste persons, hardened reprobates, and criminals. But rarely have I seen a man converted who has been a thorough-paced liar. The heart which is crammed with craft and treachery seems as if it had passed out of the reach of grace. That was Charles Spurgeon's observation of those who consistently lied. But Jesus said in John 8:31, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I knew a man who committed a crime. And finally, because he had gotten by with it, he had all this weight upon him. He wanted to get close to the Lord. He started going to church and got to the point where he couldn't overcome the sense of guilt that he had over a crime that he'd committed. And the counsel given to him was, you may need, in this case — this wasn't like you stole a pack of gum at Sears 20 years ago from, you know, the mall in Iowa. This was a significant crime. He said, you may need to report yourself and let them know you've done this. And sure enough, he did. He ended up having to spend maybe 7 to 10 years in prison for his crime. Probably got a lighter sentence maybe because of his coming forward. But even though he was going to prison, he said, I have never felt more free. I don't have to hide anything. I can be me and I can move forward. Lying is a weight we were never intended to bear or carry. It's a burden on a soul. Jesus wants us to be able to be who we are, even with our past, and to come to Him and receive forgiveness and restoration completely with God. Now, with society, sometimes that restoration comes at a cost. In his case, it was prison time. But if we're willing to walk through the cost, we can walk free. And if we're not really willing to walk through the cost of coming clean, you're always going to have that burden over your head. If you're one of those and you have built up a lot of lies, it's time to begin to come clean. Now, you don't go to a session with a person and sit them down and go, okay, I lied about this, lied about that, lied about this, lied about that. That's too much. But you want to find out ways that you can start sitting some people down and saying, look, I never did this stuff. I never worked in this department. Whatever it may be, you need to be honest. No one is as close to the gates of hell as a liar, because they don't live in truth. Jesus' intention was that we live simple lives. Lives that you could be honest about. Now, here's the kicker. If you don't do things that you have to lie about, then you won't have to lie. So it may not all be in the lying part. It may be in the doing part. Some of the stuff that you're doing causes you to have to lie. So stop doing that stuff or be honest about it. So if you can't, say, you know, yes, I was on the internet last night up until midnight looking at things I shouldn't do. That's just the truth. Okay, well, that's fine. Now that reveals that there's a problem. We shouldn't be doing that. You see what lying does? It hides many things that we shouldn't be doing. When this man who had lied about his past career just to try to attract women or seem more important to them, you know what he was lying about? You know what the problem was? He wasn't content with who he was. He wanted to be more. He was who he is. If you want to be more, here's the solution. Don't lie about it. Do more. You want to be like that guy who's sold out, gave up his practice and went to Africa and served and paved a trail ministry? Then don't talk about the fact that you've done a bunch of godly things that maybe you didn't even do. Do it. Be an honest, genuine Christian person. And if you're not going to do those things, don't say you have. Be honest. Our word should be our word. There was a woman named Isabel Kuhn. She felt called to be a missionary. And she wanted to go away to Bible college. She had a dilemma. Her parents didn't want her to be a missionary. This confused her. because she didn't want to be a missionary until God started working on her heart and then called her into the mission field. She was excited. Her parents used to pray for her and they would be excited that she might be a missionary. And so she was thrilled. Oh, man, God has so changed my heart. I want to do this now. And so she went to talk to them and she let the news out over a meal, over dinner. And her mom said, over my dead body, you will not be a missionary. And she was taken back like, is this the same woman who wanted me to grow and to be everything God wanted me to be? I don't understand this. So she sought the Lord and realized God was starting to burden her heart with the desire to go to the Bible college to be prepared as a missionary. So she wanted to do that, but then there was the dilemma of her mom and dad not wanting her to go, honoring mom and dad. So she thought about lying, not lying, but just saying, hey, I just want to go to Bible college and learn more about the scriptures, with the intention of becoming a missionary. But she didn't feel any peace about that. And finally, God just put it on her heart to share, hey, this one guy is going to Bible college that you guys know and admire, because he was. He happened to be going at the same time she was. And I'd like to go to Bible college too and do what God wants me to do, whether it's a missionary or whatever, but I wanted to go to Bible college and at least be prepared. And the mom said, you know what? I think that would be a great idea. She couldn't believe it was that easy to get her mom to okay her going to Bible college. But she was honest. She didn't hide anything or manipulate anything. And then God actually, ultimately, her mom, while she was in Bible college, ended up passing away. So she had thought back to her mom saying, over my dead body, you'll be a missionary. She goes, maybe. So the lesson in that is, don't make that kind of threat. Let God do with people what he wants them to do. Don't be in the way of God's will. But be honest. Be honest. You know, people are in your life. If you're married, your spouse is in your life. Children are your commitment. They're in your life. There are things that are going on in their lives that you're responsible for, and that is there for a purpose. If you're under your parents, if you have a job that doesn't let you take off for so long, these are things that if you are in God's will, they govern you. They're God's hands and resources to help govern you and keep you on track, or we would be all over the place. So don't see everyone as an enemy. Sometimes look at God's hand as being sovereign and in control, and focus your life on Him, and everything He wants you to do will come to pass. I've always found that to be true. I've never had to really try to hard, fast pursue what God wanted for me. Now, I had to commit myself to it, but I never had to make it happen. So don't resort to trying to make things happen. Just follow the Lord. Trust Him. And the difficulties, the trials, those who resist you, thank God for them. They might be keeping you on course and on pace, slowing you down or speeding you up sometimes. So, we need to keep our word. Verse 34, Jesus says, but I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. So here's what was going on. If they didn't feel they could really keep their word, they wouldn't swear on the name of the Most High God, they would swear on something lesser. Jesus is actually making some cultural statements here.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to Building on the Solid Rock, the teaching ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you can download today's message or subscribe to our podcast, which is also available in the iTunes Store when you search for Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you'd like to contact us, our email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. When you contact us, please let us know how today's broadcast has blessed you. Your feedback helps us know the Lord's direction for this ministry. Until next time, we'd like to say thank you for joining us, and please make plans to join us again, same time, same place, as we continue to study through God's Word. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Storms begin, but somehow I survive, and I wonder why. I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.